When it comes to regulating AI, do we need to reinvent the wheel for every new invention? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It certainly feels like artificial intelligence has been moving faster than policy. In the time it took to go from GPT 3.5 to 4, Congress has, well, you know. In recent months, experts have called for a pause in AI development to let human systems catch up. Already, these models are raising alarms about misinformation, job losses, and intellectual property protections. But do we need new legal tools to regulate these new tech tools? Not necessarily, according to Elizabeth Ranieris. She's a senior researcher with Oxford's Institute for Ethics in AI, who says our existing legal frameworks can do the job.
When you think about what these technologies are, they come down to sort of three building blocks. There are people, there are companies, and there are data. People, companies, and data are all subject to existing regulations from all manner of legal sort of fields and disciplines. So again, if we think about this in terms of consumer protection, we have sort of basic deceptive and unfair trade practices precedent. If we think of this from IP and copyright, certainly there are many bodies of law to bring to bear there. If we think about this from data protection and privacy, we can address some of the data-related aspects of this. If we look at this from a broader human rights lens or framework, again, there are many rights and freedoms that are implicated and impacted, which we have dealt with in the context of other tools and technologies. So I think that it's inherently the wrong lens to look at this from the perspective of AI. However, it serves a lot of powerful interests to really focus in on the technology and to lose sight of the fact that, again, this is really just people, companies, and data.
What do you mean it serves these interests?
Yeah, well, I think that this has been sort of a strategy of, you know, frankly, Silicon Valley and the private sector for many decades now, which is this sort of defer, delay, distract, right? So pretend there are no laws and regulations that apply. Call for new laws and regulations, knowing that those will potentially take, you know, years, if not decades. And there's this sort of, you know, constant kicking the can down the road mindset and mentality. And the way that they sort of perpetuate that is by pretending that there's some, you know, new magical technology that we cannot, you know, that we can't wrap our heads around because it's so unprecedented and it's so magical. And so I think the same thing is happening around AI.
Do you see any big gaps in our existing policies when it comes to combating some of these harms?
So I think one of the biggest challenges, which Europe's really grappling with right now, for example, in their AI Act, is this question of general purpose AI. I think that does really complicate things a little bit in the sense that, you know, when someone designing or developing these systems doesn't have an intended purpose in mind, they really are general purpose in the sense that anyone can then go and access or use or integrate them into their own tools for different purposes in different contexts, different sectors. It is tricky to sort of fully assess the foreseeable and unforeseeable harms and potential use cases. You know, when you're designing something and you don't know whether it's going to end up in a medical chatbot, for example, or in a learning tool, or you know, in the entertainment context. I think that part of it is really where we need to sort of close the loop. And that's where, in some sense, it is helpful to have these sort of sectoral specific laws, such as the ones I mentioned earlier, where states are, you know, applying some of this in certain contexts like employment.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's come up a lot in our discussions on the show is the threat of kind of industrial scale misinformation coming from these tools, and concern looking at kind of the difficulty that, you know, our infrastructure has had just dealing with social media on that front. I mean, what do you see kind of as tools there?
This is something that definitely keeps me up at night. I have major concerns about 2024. I don't think we're prepared for what we're about to see. I think if we thought 2016 was bad, you know, we're in for a really unpleasant surprise. I think, again, the scale of these technologies is very different. They are much easier for anyone, from an individual to smaller entities, to large entities, to nation states, to adapt and to integrate and to deploy in a way that wasn't true of previous technologies. And so I think all of the the concerns we've seen around mis and disinformation on social media are just going to be that much more amplified. I think if there is, you know, any policy intervention that's really going to help there, unfortunately, I think it means leaning more into the ex ante side of things, as in limits and rules that apply sort of pre-deployment.
So what would that look like?
Of course, it depends on the use case and it depends on the technology. For example, again, going back to what the EU is trying to do, they're trying to look at these sort of high risk use cases and impose, you know, additional ex ante requirements on those before they're sort of released on the market. I think another thing that's worth noting here that's very tricky from this standpoint is there's a very blurry line between, for example, research and development and commercial deployments in the context of AI. Companies, especially when it comes to sort of the companies that are developing these tools, you know, they'll say that they're sort of doing research until right. The point where something is suddenly on the market and it's now a commercial deployment. And because it was in that sort of research context, you know, we sort of backed off from a regulatory standpoint. And then by the time we intervene, it's too late. And so I think even in the R&D context, we probably need to revisit, you know, are there limits that can be imposed there?
There's this perennial concern raised whenever we talk about regulating new technology that the pace of policymaking just fundamentally can't keep up with advances in technology. I mean, do you see that as a problem?
I think it's tempting to adopt that view because in a way it sort of lets us off the hook, right? And we start to feel, you know, that there's a certain inevitability to the fact that these technologies are going to outpace us. I think one way to counteract that, again, is to stop starting from the point of view of the technology and to always return to the point of view. I mean, I catch myself having to do this. It's very easy to get distracted by the tech. And so the more we can return to the human experience of this technology, I think the better chance we stand, because then we really can contextualize these things.
Elizabeth Reneris at Oxford's Institute for Ethics in AI. We've got more from Elizabeth, whose book Beyond Data came out in February. Much like the focus on new technology she talked about with us, she argues our focus on protecting data can obscure the real-world harm that's happening to people and societies. I mentioned the call for a pause of AI. We did a whole week of coverage on that idea, first posed in a letter now signed by thousands of scientists and tech leaders. It's all at our website, marketplacetech.org. Lydia Morell produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.